always a joy to be here at Covenant Family Church. It's a privilege, too, to get to start the night in tracing the pilgrims and their time before they came to these colonies, before they boarded the Mayflower. Pilgrim history began long before 1620. And their journey to this country, their journey to Cape Cod, was only the last step of a journey that really spanned many decades. We sometimes forget how early the pilgrims were in history. 1620 is a long time ago. They were only really, if you count the oldest of the pilgrims, men like William Brewster, they were only a couple generations at most away from the Reformation. And so their grandfathers remembered the days when England was completely under the control of the papacy. And so a lot happened in just a few years. And the course of the English Reformation is the story of what became the pilgrims, or the separatists as they were called. The Reformation in England was very different than it was in the continent, or France, or Holland. Holland is soon going to play into our story because the pilgrims also spent time there. Their roots, of course, in England and in Holland. And that's what I'm tasked with tonight. Well, the roots of the pilgrims. Why did they come from England? Why did they go to Holland? Why did neither place suit them? And why did the Lord in His providence bring them that route? Why not just from England to what became America? Well, it's important, the lessons that they learned, both from England and from their time in Holland. In fact, we in our country would have a very different structure of our foundation had they come just from England, or had they come just from Holland. The Lord used both of those places to teach them an important lesson. Pilgrim history really begins at the very beginning. William Brewster was not the first pilgrim. The Bible says of Abraham that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth, that he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so, in reality, Abraham was a pilgrim too. A pilgrim is one that travels in search of something, in search of truth. And that's what Abraham did when he left Ur of the Chaldees. The Bible says that he obeyed the Lord and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And that's what our pilgrim forefathers did too when they came to these shores. Moses also was a pilgrim. The Bible says of him, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He saw the one that was invisible. And so Moses too was a pilgrim. Jesus in many ways was a pilgrim. Paul was a pilgrim. And I hope that you're a pilgrim too, that we are all searching for what is truth. In Exodus 8:1, the Lord gave Moses this pilgrim's mandate, we could call it. Our modern culture in America has strayed much from what the pilgrims envisioned. In fact, we have usually simplified their journey to this country, and good men do it. You will hear it from platforms all the time, that the pilgrims came here in search of religious liberty. The Lord told Moses in Egypt, "Go to Pharaoh and say unto him, let my people go, that they may serve me." We do see liberty there. Let my people go. But you know, usually when that is quoted in our modern culture, we truncate it. We say simply, "Let my people go." That was not the Lord's command. He said, "Let my people go in order that they may serve me." And that's the complete mandate. Moses did not just go into the wilderness to have liberty of conscience. He went into the wilderness so that he might worship God as God had commanded. And that's what the pilgrims sought. Often, the pilgrims are charged with an inconsistency in our modern culture. And you hear this all the time, not only from the world, but also in Christian textbooks. The pilgrims were inconsistent. They were oppressed in England. They came to this country, and then they, in turn, oppressed others. They oppressed the Indians. They oppressed Roman Catholics. They oppressed Roger Williams. They oppressed Anne Hutchinson. But the Pilgrims had a deeper understanding than our modern culture does. Not only were they emphasizing, let my people go, but let my people go that they may serve me. Liberty to serve God demands also an obedience and submission to what God has commanded. And so we're going to trace a little bit about of that history in England and Holland. Because the Pilgrims learned an important lesson both places. The Hebrews learned an important lesson in the same way, two places. In Egypt, the Hebrews were not allowed to worship God as God had commanded. And so they left Egypt, as the Bible says of Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king. They forsook Egypt and went out. But when they came to Canaan, they had a different problem. In Canaan, they could serve the Lord. They were free to serve the Lord. But they were surrounded by pagan nations. And when that paganism was tolerated, when it was amalgamated into their culture, they had a problem in Canaan that was equal but opposite from their problem in Egypt. In Canaan, what does it say in the book of Judges? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. God's people, as pilgrims, have always had to avoid two errors. And this is the lesson we're going to get tonight as we get through this history. The error of England was a tyranny of the state. That the state, by the rule of the king, defined what religion was. And he defined it unbiblically. And the pilgrims could not live under that oppressive, tyrannical, kingly mandate. But in Holland, the pilgrims had the opposite problem. In Holland, there was freedom of religion. In fact, there was complete religious toleration. And if you want to read some wild heresies, read what arose in the Netherlands in the 1610s and 20s. Some of the famous Munsterites from the Anabaptist Munsterite Rebellion, one of them was named John of Leiden. He had come from Leiden. And Leiden tolerated everything known to man in their culture. And so the pilgrims were also leaving complete religious toleration, and they were seeking in this country for something in between. They were seeking for that which the Lord commanded Moses, let my people go that they may serve me. First of all, England. I'm going to read a quote from William Bradford so that you can get in his own words the reason they left England. And I'm going to do the same with Holland and then draw a conclusion. Here's England. The Bible, not the Bible, William Bradford said this. He was seeking to follow the Bible. He said this, "The one party of reformers endeavored to establish the right worship of God and the discipline of Christ in his church according to the simplicity of the gospel and without the mixture of men's inventions and to be ruled by the laws of God's word." That's an important point in why they sought to leave. Not merely because they were oppressed, but because they sought to govern their church by the laws of God's word, dispensed by such officers as pastors, teachers, and elders, according to the scriptures. The other party, the Episcopal, under many pretenses, endeavored to maintain the Episcopal dignity after the popish manner, with all its courts, canons, and ceremonies, its livings, retinues, subordinate officers, and other means of upholding their anti-Christian greatness, and of enabling them with lordly and tyrannous power to persecute the poor servants of God. There Bradford defines why the pilgrims left England. Because the state was demanding of them that which the Bible would not allow. In other words, England had not reformed completely. The Reformation in England had a shaky beginning at best. Henry VIII sought to break with Rome for the worst reason, because he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. His break with Rome was not theological. It was expediency. There was a good reason, and he wanted to become the Pope of England. So his reformation was a political one. Now, in the providence of God, his son, Edward VI, brought about a genuine reformation. And some of the men that served under him, Cranmer, Latimer, Ridley, began to rid the church of the very things the pilgrims later opposed. However, after Edward was followed by Bloody Mary, who not only restored the episcopal dignity, but restored the papacy, brought England back under the control of the Pope. Elizabeth then swung back to the middle. She wanted the Protestantism of Edward. She wanted the liberty from Rome that Edward enjoyed, but she wanted her church to retain the dignity that the Popish Church had. And so, after the initial success of the Reformation, Elizabeth had swung back to a position that was reformed in doctrine, but in practice was still Popish. And England continued that way. Her state church remained in that awkward balance of trying to be reformed in doctrine, but Popish in practice. And those are the things that the Puritans, and then later a branch of those called the Separatists, began to speak against and to write against. They used every means to speak first the message of truth. They were not separatist in the sense that at the first sign of trouble they fled. For many years they worked earnestly to continue the Reformation in England by the pen, by the press, by their writings. They wrote against the practices in the state church that they found objectionable. They saw kneeling at the altar to be a caveat back to the Roman doctrine of transubstantiation. They would not kneel at the altar. They would not give allegiance to a bishop merely because he had the stamp of state authority. And so in England, they labored under a tyrannical state that defined for them what was religion. Bradford then said that they were forced, because of these reasons, to find refuge in Holland. He said in 1607, seeing themselves thus molested, they resolved by joint consent to go into the Low Countries, where they heard was freedom of religion for all men. If the problem was an oppressive state government, they thought that perhaps they might find liberty in Holland, and they did. For several years, from 1609 and onward, they found refuge in Holland, first in Amsterdam for a year, and then removing to Leiden. In Holland, they enjoyed many things that they could not enjoy in England. They had comfortable conditions. They were able to disseminate the works from their press with great success. In fact, they were able to smuggle some of their books back into England, where they were widely read. They had, Bradford says, they grew much in knowledge under the leadership of their pastor, John Robinson, as well as some of the other pastors in the Church of Leiden. One of them, Henry Ainsworth. One of them, John Smith. They enjoyed great blessing, growth in numbers. But the time came when they faced an opposite problem in Holland. In Holland, everything was tolerated. Even, in fact, licentiousness, immorality, the same government that gave toleration to religion gave toleration to the bad guys too. And everybody found refuge in Holland. And here is what William Bradford had to say about their troubles in Holland. And this is the part that is left out of most stories of the pilgrims. If they wanted religious liberty, they had it. They had it in Holland. They could have stayed there forever. But Bradford said this, "Of all our sorrows most heavy to be borne, it was most lamentable that many of our children, influenced by these conditions and the great licentiousness of the young people of the country and the many temptations of the city, were led by evil example into dangerous courses, getting the reins off their necks and leaving their parents. So they saw that their posterity would be in danger to degenerate and become corrupt. Just as bad as the tyranny of the state was another kind of tyranny. We don't usually think of this as tyranny. We think of it as democracy. But democracy is also tyranny of a different form. It is a tyranny of the people, where the majority rules. And whatever the people say defines the law of the land. That's what Holland had become by 1615. Holland changed rapidly in those days. They had enjoyed a great deliverance from the Spanish. And truly, the history of Holland is remarkable. William of Orange had led them to victory over the Spanish Inquisition that had found its way into the Netherlands. The hymn we just sang, the pilgrims brought that from Holland. It was a Dutch hymn of victory, how the Lord had brought them remarkable deliverances. Leiden was one of the places where that deliverance was most shown. Every pilgrim boy would be acquainted with the remarkable story of how that city was surrounded by a Spanish army, how the people within, starving for food, prayed that God might bring the wind from the sea. And at the last hour, when everything looked desperate, the Lord caused the wind to turn, and the people of Holland, as they looked in light, and they saw the weathercock turn around the opposite direction, the water blew in from the Zuider Zee, came up through the dikes, brought the Dutch sea beggars in range to give deliverance, and the siege of Leiden was lifted. They had seen God's deliverance in Holland too, and many remarkable wonders. But the Dutch people did something with their liberty that's always a danger. They did what the judges did in the day, what the people of Israel did in the days of the judges. When they were out from under Pharaoh, when they were out from under Moses, William Bradford described it very well. They got the reins off from their necks, and they pulled away from God's authority and said, "Now we are at liberty, we will do whatever we want." And that's always a danger. When we seek for liberty, we often go to the other extreme, into what William Bradford called rightly here, licentiousness. And for that reason, the pilgrims could not stay in Holland. They had liberty, but they were worried about their children. They did not want their children under the influence of the Dutch society, where immorality was smiled upon, where every child was grown up to seek, as our modern culture tells you, find religion of your choice. Whatever you want. Shop for religion as you would shop for food on a buffet. Whatever pleases you, you may have. The pilgrims left that just as emphatically as they left the oppression of the state church. And they came to this country that they might, as the Lord said to Moses, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." The pilgrims are often criticized for persecuting those that tried to infiltrate them with the same ideas. And one of the things that our modern culture scourges the pilgrims most for, they say they left England because they were persecuted, they came here, and they turned around and did the same thing. They persecuted the Roman Catholics. They would not allow Roman Catholics to settle in their colony. They persecuted the antinomians like Anne Hutchinson, who rebelled against the laws of Plymouth Colony. They persecuted troublemakers like Roger Williams. And they are often called inconsistent, but when they're called inconsistent, they are misunderstood. They were very consistent. They were consistent with the Bible, maybe not consistent with our modern culture that elevates complete liberty of conscience. You don't find that in Deuteronomy. There is liberty, but there is liberty only to do that which God commands. And that's what the pilgrims sought. In fact, in 1645, there was a vote that came before the governors of Plymouth Colony for complete religious toleration. And Bradford said no. Why did he say no? He said no because if we do that, we're going to become just like Holland. And the same thing that happened in Holland is going to happen here. And if you open that door, that anything goes, every man will soon do that which is right in his own eyes. And so what the pilgrims sought to pass to us, imperfect as it was to avoid the errors of England, where the state was tyrannical, and to avoid the errors of Holland, where the people were tyrannical. They wanted a place where Christ was king. Tyranny, let it be so, but let it be the tyranny of Christ. That is what Bradford and Robinson and Brewster sought. That God's law would have the rule, and that the liberty that their children, their grandchildren, that we would enjoy, would be a liberty that is regulated by the Word of God. And thus, the Lord had to bring them to England, had to take them through the trials of England, that they might learn the errors there. Brought them to Holland, that they might learn the equal errors there. And thus, that they might bring here that which is biblical, that which is true, that which is right. Thank you.